He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord.
For those of you who didn't know, recently Andrea's parents moved up to Tacoma, near Tacoma, somewhere around in Washington State. And I would say that her family definitely has, enjoyed them moving the most because mom and dad are around, grandma and grandpa are around. But the person who's benefited after them the most, I would actually say is probably me, because they keep buying me peach Snapple, which is my favorite drink. So, Sheridans, thank you. More peach Snapple, it's good. So this morning, we are continuing with the Gospel of Mark series. What we're actually going to do is take a step back and look at three parables all at once. So we have 2 weeks left of this series, this week and next week. There are four parables left to the end of chapter 4. And what we're going to do is talk about three of them today from a generalized perspective, and then we're going to pull back and look just at the calm of the storm next week. And this week, what I wanted to do is do something a little bit different. So in the fall, our youth engaged in a series called Be Kind, Please Rewind. And what we did is we looked at movie clips, and we pulled biblical truths and plot points, brought it to the Bible, looked at those points, and we're going to do that this morning. So you're actually going to see some movie clips, which I'm going to preach from, which are hoping going to tie into these parables. I hope. Let me pray. God, I thank you so much for this opportunity, and I thank you that you are good. Father, what you start, you finish. So God, would your words be heard, a little less of me, a whole lot more of you. Pray this in your name. Amen. So I have a question for you. How many of you guys have ever had something that perhaps started quite small and turned into something much bigger in your life? A story that I can think of is when I was a young kid, my dad and I used to collect hockey cards. And so my dad lived in my grandparents' attic, and what we did is we'd go to the local corner store and we'd buy a pro set hockey cards, and on the back would have a bunch of stats, and we'd compare the stats and keep them in binders and have a bookshelf with hockey cards and Upper Deck, and we had Pavel Bure's rookie card, and oh, it's Pavel Bure! And then one day I randomly said, "Dad, wouldn't it be cool if we had a card store where we got to sell hockey cards to other people?" And somewhere in that, my grandma had heard about this dream that I might have had and talking with Dad about it. And one day she said, "Hey, after Grandpa passed away, we got a bunch of money. we'd like to give you this portion of money, and we want you guys to start a hockey card store. And so I thought, whoa, this is amazing. So we moved to Chilliwack, and we open up a hockey card store. And we're selling hockey cards, and then what happens from selling hockey cards and football cards and baseball cards and rookie cards, and they started making cards with pieces of game-worn jersey in them, and they autographed the cards, and my dad realized that there was another market of gaming. And these are board games and card games and really geeky stuff, Big Bang Theory type stuff. And my dad said, at the age of, I think I was 12 years old, said, Randy, could you learn how to play these games? And, can you be somebody who people can talk to about Magic the Gathering, Monopoly, Settlers of Catan? And I thought, sure, no problem. So I started hanging out with some guys who played games. They were much older than me. They also dressed up in uniforms and costumes. Thought it was a little weird. Sure enough, I started dressing up in uniforms and costumes, and I'm playing these games. And then all of a sudden, I realized that there's also competitions to these games. And you can travel around the world and go play against other people and compete. And so I had some people that would drive me down. They were much older than I was. Drive me down to Seattle, and I'd play in these Pro Tour qualifiers. And if you actually won a tournament, you would get onto the Pro Tour, which would give you a salary, and you would make a living playing games. And so all of a sudden, I was thinking, man, I could make a living playing games. This is amazing. So I started practicing and playing and playing and playing. And eventually, a bunch of guys in Seattle heard about me, played against me a couple times, and thought, hey, you're not too bad. You're pretty young, though. So why don't you come with us? We'll be your legal guardians, and we'll go to Gen Con in Indianapolis. So they paid for my flight and everything and went to Indianapolis, played in some world championships, and I happened to win a couple. And so all of a sudden, this hockey card store turned into something much bigger, and here I am playing in all these games. And people are coming to me at 15, 16, 17 years old, asking me to build them decks, have ideas and strategies for games like Settlers of Catan. I'm thinking, this is pretty cool. And from there, this guy comes up to me in a business suit, business card, and he says, hey, we'd like to have a conversation with you. And I'm pretty intimidated at this point. But this guy was from AEG, All Direct Entertainment Group, who makes a game called Smash Up, Legends of the Five Rings, and other really geeky, geeky games. And I know right now some of you are thinking, oh my goodness, this guy is a total geek. I am. I really am. So, I'm proud of being a geek. I really am. So I had this interview, and what they did is they actually wanted me to make games. So I became a mechanics lead and started making and putting together games. So I wasn't the most creative person, but what I did is they gave me this creative idea, and I tried to make it work. And so here I was, you know, grade six, I had this idea of a card store and selling some cards. Next thing I know, I have a title of a professional gamer, and I'm playing games, and people are buying games and that I'm making, and it's a whole big thing. It changed my life completely. And I didn't think in the moment when I was sitting in my dad's attic looking at little hockey cards, and I wasn't interested in games at all, that out of that, something pretty crazy happened. But I had this little idea, this little, say, a mustard seed, this little idea that maybe something great could come out of this. Today we're looking at these three parables, and the context of these parables is actually the word Great Commission. These parables that we're looking at of the lampstand, the parable of the seeds growing, and the mustard seed are actually a prelude to something that comes later, which is the Great Commission. And what God is saying is, this is, I commission you guys to go and make disciples. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, after he died and rose again, he's standing with his 11 disciples, and he says, this is what I want you guys to do. Go and make disciples. And the stories that we're looking at here are actually an illustration, a prelude to that Great Commission. Three different stories, three different contexts, but all the same principle. And that is this coming of the kingdom of God and how it can start in pretty small and interesting places. The first story we look at is the lamp and its stand. And we just heard it. There's a lamp, and you don't put a lamp in a drawer under the bed. You put it on the lampstand so it can shine its light. And then there's a warning there, and it says, whoever has a little will gain a lot. Whoever has nothing will lose everything. And a warning to the world of, if you have a little bit of faith, if you have a little bit of Jesus Christ, a little bit, you have everything. But if you don't have that, You don't got it. Then the next story of growing seeds. In the growing seeds parable, this is an agricultural kick. I know last week Tim preached on the soils, and it was a great message of beating down, divided heart, hardened heart. Did a fantastic job. So I don't want to stay too much on soil. I thought he did a great job. But in this, it's interesting that he uses this reference of day and night. Day and night, the seed grows. And that part of it is it takes time. It's not immediate. But the kingdom of God grows, starts small and grows into something bigger. And in us, that faith that can start so small but can grow into something huge. Or maybe some kid who has this idea of one thing and something out of it bursts much bigger. And then this last parable, and this is where we're really going to stick it. And that's the parable of the mustard seed. And we just heard it. I'm not even going to explain it. Great job, Jacqueline, wherever you are. Thanks for that, sis. But what can start so small can turn into something so big in the context of both the kingdom of God, the faith in us, and again, which I thought she illustrated very well, this church, how it might seem small compared to the world. What can we do? What can we do with the kingdom of God? So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a movie. This movie happens to be one of my favorite movies of all time. When I used to preach back in the day, I watched two movies for inspiration, Remember the Titans and Rudy. And you can see, those are football movies. I love sports. We're going to look at Rudy today. So we're going to see three clips, and I'm going to give 3 points to those three clips. So the first clip of Rudy, just to give some context, so this is a little kid. This is actually the beginning of the movie. He has a little bit of a dream, a little thought that starts out pretty small. Roll it, Anton.
That's enough.
Now, has anybody else got anything to say to me before I start this meal?
After high school, I'm going to play football at Notre Dame.
You're going to play football at Notre Dame?
Yeah.
And I'm going to buy a mansion on Lakeshore Drive.
Rudy? Bah.
Sherry, honey, can I get you money?
What are we watching? Channel 7.
Honey, are you sure you don't want something to drink?
Oh, no, that's good.
Yes.
They'll meet their traditional rivals, the Trojans from the University of Southern
California. Mr. Rudiger, sir?
Yeah, Pete?
At halftime, can we watch some of the Indiana-Purdue game?
There's only one team we watch in this house. Right?
Right.
So here's Rudy. He's with his family. The scene before that, he's playing football with his brothers, and they're calling him a spaz because he's too small. The story of Daniel Rudiger is that he's 5'6", 160 pounds, maybe soaking wet. So full grown, he's a pretty small guy. And some would say that he's not really football material. And this kid grows up in this environment where his dad really, really loves Notre Dame. His brothers are All-American athletes, and at this point, he says, and he speaks out loud, verbalizes it, I'm going to play football at Notre Dame. And what happens to this little seed that he has inside of him, this little dream? Is immediately there's opposition. Immediately his dad laughs at him, even pretends to cuff him. His brothers laugh at him. His girlfriend who's sitting there is also laughing at him. Sometimes I think this seed of faith that we might have, how whatever the size may be, it can come at a great cost. It can come with opposition. That sometimes the thing that we're carrying inside of us, this hope of Jesus Christ to save this world and redeem it, it can come at a cost. I even think in my context, my wife and I go to our family dinners, and man, there are times where we feel almost depressed because we want to pray at dinner time and that might not be the time to do it. Or that we want to go to church on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve and how that might play into what time we have Christmas dinner and presents. It can come at a cost. Sometimes when I go and visit friends, who aren't Christians, and they ask me, what do you think about this person that I saw on TV who says he's a Christian? Might come at a cost when we think and we're saying grand things about the church and our belief in Jesus Christ is going to redeem this world. And people look and go, really? You're still there? Really? The context of the movie is Rudy has this dream of being a football player. Now, I get it, it's football. But it was interesting in that moment, this little kid even, how immediately people that loved him, who thought, not a chance, man. Too small, you don't got it. I think sometimes, the things we go through, the cost it can sometimes have in the workplace with our friends or relationships. Sometimes when we see, we have this belief that it's going to grow, we're praying into it, we're hoping, we're believing, and then a roadblock, and then it takes time. The story of Rudy, it actually is over a span of about 16 years. In this moment, he's quite young. And what's interesting and what's important to know about this story is Daniel Rudiger is now an inspirational speaker. Speaker, not speecher. Wow, speak English. My youth were laughing at me. We're going to have a talk after. But he goes around and he talks about how he actually wasn't supposed to be a football player. I mean, he's 5'6", 160 pounds. But the gift that God gave him was perseverance. The gift that God gave Rudy was this ability that no matter the cost, he was going to continue on the path. What we're talking about this morning is as we pull back and look at these parables in the context of this church and of you. What gifts has God given to you? What gifts has God given to you that you may be placed on a lampstand for your light to shine? Is it a gift of encouragement? A gift of song and singing, playing an instrument? A gift of hospitality? A gift of preaching? A gift of hanging out and bringing out people to coffee? A gift of business? A gift of planting crops? A gift of being faithful? What's the gift that God's put inside of you to be a lamp on a lampstand for your light to shine, for his kingdom and his light to be shown through you? What we're going to look at now is we're going to fast forward through the movie. So Rudy now is, he's been accepted. He worked for 2 years, the school across the canal, to try to get into Notre Dame, and his grades weren't good enough, so he couldn't try out for the football team. And finally, he makes it. His last chance, he makes it, and he's in Notre Dame. And then he goes to his dad, and he says, Dad, look, man, I just made it. I'm in Notre Dame. And his dad says, oh, that's great, buddy. Do you want to work? Earn some money? So that when you go to Notre Dame, you can pay for it? And Rudy says, no. Tryouts for the football team are a week. In 1 week, and I gotta work out, man. I gotta try. And the room is silent. Because again, he faces some opposition. Really? Really? Let's roll it, Anton.
Yeah.
Well, hi, Roland. Come in.
I want Rudy to dress in my place, Coach. He deserves it.
Don't be ridiculous. Georgia Tech is one of the top offensive teams in the country. You're an All-American and our captain. Act like it.
I believe I am.
Me too, Coach. I'll Rudy to dress in my place.
Coach, this is Rudy.
For Rudy, Coach.
Point number one, our faith can come at a cost. Point number two, our faith is built, it grows in community. The second part of the parable of the mustard seed, verse 33, with many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. In the context of these parables, he's speaking to a bunch of people that don't have this seed. They've doubted him, they question him, they don't know anything about him. And so what he's saying, he's talking in parables for them to understand for a couple of reasons. One, the message is too confrontational. There's too much here. And in the gospel, you can really hear there is a warning in the gospel. Because it is a lot. He's translating it to people who doubt him or don't believe in him through parables and through stories. But in this context and in this parable, it says, but the disciples that are with him, he goes, he works with them. He explains things to them, wants them to understand it so that they can go and make disciples, so that they can be placed on a lampstand for their light to shine. Now, the context of this movie is here's Rudy, he's been working hard, and everybody's starting to notice. In practice, in the movie, you'll see again and again, people are coming up to him, and they're saying, what are you doing, Rudy? Like, you're working too hard, you believe in it too much, what are you doing? What is motivating you to take a beating day in and day out? What's motivating you to do this? His response is simple. My job is to make sure that I practice the best that I can, so that you can be the best player you can be, so we can be the best team we can be. Came at a cost, and in this community, these players, which first they start to go, man, the guy's out to lunch. They start to grow respect for him. That little seed that has been growing over time, night and day, much like the parable of the growing seeds. Night and day, the farmer plants. It doesn't always happen all at once. It takes some time to grow. And how do we grow? When we're building relationship. When we're talking about Jesus Christ together. This past week, I had the opportunity to go to M. Bearder's small group. And I don't know, there's 14 people, 12 people, something. There was a lot of people doing a Bible study. And I left encouraged. One, because when I got there, I brought the average age down quite a bit. Here's a bunch of people who have gone before me who are still faithful in studying the Word, still faithful in taking divine truth and make it the anchor of that seed. Studying the Word together. Talking about their faith together. Sharing their experiences about life together, doing life together. Day in and day out, night after night, watering the seeds. Watering the seeds. Maybe when somebody is in a tough circumstance, somebody's having a hard time, and they find themselves under the bed or in a drawer, you have other people who can pull you out. Have a shoulder you can cry on. Our faith is built in community. And it's articulated in that parable of the mustard seed. When he hung out with his disciples and he explained to them what this is, this divine truth, this anchor, this message of the gospel. How miraculous it is. And what happens? Their faith grows. What happens when we hang out and we hang out in a small group? We talk about Jesus Christ day in and day out. Our faith grows. What happens when we come together on Sunday morning and we worship and sing songs of praise? We listen to preaching. We ask questions. We see friends. We see people go through great things, through tough things. But we do it together. The illustration of this story is that these guys who first didn't totally understand who he was, through relationship, through day in and day out, seeing this guy work, pursue that thing that's inside of him, they started to respect him. They went from respecting him to, I want him to take my spot. That was the last game. The last game he could ever play. Senior year, last game of the season. And his name wasn't on the list. He wasn't picked. And the captain and the players went into the coach's office. And they said, I want him to take my spot. They built a community. They built a team. Together they grew. Together they helped this young man achieve something that was grown inside of him. What a beautiful picture of community. In the context of these parables, I can just see Jesus hanging out with these disciples. They're asking question after question. Probably looks like something like me asking Tim about all the questions of what it means to be reformed, be a pastor in the church, be a father. Man, I asked that guy a lot of questions. I got to apologize to him some more. God wants us to be in community. Sometimes our faith can really grow when we hear somebody else's experience. We hear what they're going through, what's up in their life, how God has been faithful. The last clip we're going to see, it's the end of the story. In this clip, the players have put their jersey on the coach's desk. And that mustard seed that was quite small grew into something much bigger than he ever dreamt of. And this is Rudy having the opportunity to walk on the field with his dad in the stadium, watching him bring out the team. Let's watch and see what happens.
What was that? Who called that play?
Well, I gotta tell you, it's just occurred to me what the student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudy. Dan Rudy. A walk-on senior, subject of a feature article in yesterday's student newspaper, The Observer. After toiling for 2 years at Carnegie Field and...
Go get it, kid!
Come on, one more.
This story, man, it's a good movie. Brings tears to my eyes. It's a football movie. But this story, it's inspiring. And what's inspiring about it is that here's a kid who had a little bit of faith for something. And over time, it grew into something much greater. And you might ask, well, Randy, why are you bringing that? I mean, it's a dream about football to what we're talking about here. And the point is point number three, is our big enough? It can start out small, but is our faith in what that tree will become from that mustard seed big enough? Do we talk about God in a big enough way? Do we talk about God and what he's capable of and what he's doing and what he's done? Do we talk about it with enough reverence and awe? Do we talk about it from a place that says, man, he is so big. He surpasses all understanding. That guy is huge. Look what he can do. The story of Daniel Rudiger is a true story. And now, if you listen to him talk, he actually speaks that this isn't the giant tree in his life. It was a great moment, but from that moment, he's had the opportunity to speak into thousands and thousands of young people's lives. And this doesn't highlight this lie, I think, that's told in our culture today. This lie that if you put your heart into it or your mind into it, you can accomplish anything. Rudy was given a gift from God. His gift was perseverance. That guy persevered when it came at a cost, when his family didn't believe in him. His gift took time to grow, and it grew through being with other people. And what he thought was the tree in full wasn't at all. It was something much, much bigger. The parable of the mustard seed, it talks about how that mustard seed would grow into this tree, and that tree would have branches for birds to fall on. In the context of that, is that this is a message for everyone. That those birds are representing all the nations of the world. And that this light that we have with inside of us, this little seed that can grow from something so small and start in such humble ways, is from God by God. And it can grow into something for everyone. But the question I ask you today is this. What's God put inside of you to share that faith? What's God put inside of you, mom and dad? What gifts has God given to you? And do you find yourselves today in a drawer or under the bed? Do you find yourselves today maybe saying things like, I don't have it anymore. Maybe I'm too old, I'm too tired, I've got too much going on. Too young. I don't have the education. What's God put inside of you that's meant to be on the lampstand to shine? What gift has God given to you that it can express how big, how awesome, and how real Jesus Christ is and how much this world needs him? What has God put inside of you that can show that no matter the size of that faith, it's faith in him. And he's enough. He's enough. What's God put in you to share? What's God put in you that can start like a mustard seed so small, but can grow into something so huge? And do we put God in a box? Is our big enough? Is God big? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much. I thank you so much that you are good. I thank you that you are awesome and powerful. Father, and I proclaim and declare, God, that you are big, that you are more than enough for our circumstances, more than enough for our ailments, our injuries, the excuses that we might give. You are more than enough. And Father, I pray for this church, for the people within it, God, that you would make this place a place that's its lights being shone, that it's on the lampstand, that we're planting seeds, that we're watering those seeds, that day after day, faithfulness would be our testimony. Faithfulness to sing your songs, to give praises to you, to say that, God, you are enough. You're enough in every circumstance. You're more than enough. And Father, what started small grows into something huge wherever we're at, whatever the circumstance, wherever we are this morning. Father, would we look for you? Would we reach for you? Would we find you? Would we declare that you are more than enough, that your truth is our anchor, and that we would have faith that can move those mountains? Pray this all in your name. Amen. Amen.